This is an All Ears English Podcast, episode 1929. We're happy to share these phrases and pie. Welcome to the All Ears English Podcast, downloaded more than 200 million times. Are you feeling stuck with your English? We'll show you how to become fearless and fluent by focusing on connection, not perfection, with your American hosts, Lindsay McMahon, the English adventurer, and Michelle Kaplan, the New York radio girl, coming to you from Colorado and New York City, USA. To get real-time transcripts right on your phone and create your personalized vocabulary list, try the All Ears English app for iOS and Android. Start your 7-day free trial at allearsenglish.com/app.
When someone asks you to do something, how can you respond in a positive way immediately for both business and life? Plus, does Aubrey want cake or pie? Find out today.
This podcast is sponsored by Indeed. As a business owner myself, I've learned that the most important key to success is having a great team. But it can be time-consuming, reading through tons of resumes. Need to hire a great candidate at your company? Why not eliminate the busy work? Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so that you can connect with candidates faster. Just in the minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. So join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/AEE. Just go to Indeed.com/AEE right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/AEE. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Lindsay, can you answer a question for me?
Well, I'd be happy to. Aubrey, what's the question?
So we're able to interview so many interesting guests here on All Ears English, and I would love to know, what is something you learned recently from a guest?
Yeah, that's a great question. So at the podcast conference last year, I met these two lovely ladies, Laura Beth Peters and Lainey Stubblefield, and they have the coolest podcast. You want to know what it is, Aubrey?
Yes.
They have a podcast called Steel Magnolias Podcast, and they talk about Southern American culture, meaning not South America. I mean, the Southern U.S. culture. And I know a lot of people that are oddly like fascinated, or not oddly, just genuinely fascinated with Southern U.S. culture, just because it is so exotic for someone from the West.
I've heard of this podcast. I have friends who listen to it just because they love the South. Yes.
Yeah. So the reason I met them is that their show, they volunteered their show to put it up on the big screen at one of the events and have it picked apart by like experts. Like, here's what you could do better. And I thought they were very brave. So I just went up to them and said, hey, that's awesome. Really cool what you guys are talking about. Let's get you on All Ears English. So they came on. We had one of those rare three-person interviews that we rarely do. And they taught our listeners a phrase. That phrase was, that dog will hunt, right? And this one, do you know this phrase? Because I didn't know it until I
haven't heard that episode yet. I cannot wait to hear that interview. But no, I haven't heard that.
Did you even know we interviewed them?
No, I didn't know that. That's so exciting.
Yeah, they're fantastic. That dog will hunt. So it means that something will succeed. It means it's referring to an idea, a person, or an object that performs well. And they said it in kind of a Southern accent. I think they're from the Nashville area.
Okay. Ooh, interesting. So this is an idiom that's very specific to the Southern United States.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. That's so cool. Thank you for sharing. I'm excited to go listen to that podcast. You guys definitely check it out if you missed it. And notice Lindsay said, when I asked her, you know, if she would answer a question, she said, yeah, I'd be happy to. It's such a positive, friendly way to respond when someone says, can I ask you a question? I love that so much.
Yeah, this is a great thing to say when you're being interviewed on a podcast and someone asks you if you could give your background or tell a story, yeah, I'd be happy to, right? It starts the interview off in a very nice tone, right?
Yes, right. And this came up in episode 1876, where we were talking about having a can-do attitude. Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned, like, I'd be happy to, I'd be thrilled to. And we promised another episode because these are such positive, friendly ways to use both business English and just in your daily life. Yes. When someone asks you something, to respond with one of these very positive ways.
Yeah, because it matters how you start something. It matters how you start something and how you end it. What's in the middle is a little less significant sometimes. We talked about that just in a previous episode about business English emails. Really matters the tone that you kick things off with. Right, Aubrey?
Yes, exactly. So we're first going to share some positive responses that you guys definitely want to be using in business English and in daily life. These can-do ways to respond at work. And then we're going to share some sort of joking, playful ways to agree to do something that you're not thrilled about. These are all going to be really fun.
All right, so here we go. Let's start off first with those positive responses for business English. Right, Aubrey? So first one, I'm happy to do that, or happy to do that.
Yes, I often will drop the subject and verb I'm, right? And just say happy to do that. Happy
yeah.
to.
Yes. And would you do that in writing as well as spoken?
Yeah, in an informal email, definitely, right? That might be all I respond. If you ask me something and I'll just shoot back, happy to. That's it.
Happy
right?
to. Yeah.
In a very informal text message or email, definitely.
Very good way to respond, right? What else?
Yes. And then just a little bit of different grammar with the exact same meaning. I'd be happy to, which means I would be happy to. We use these interchangeably, right? Happy yes. to do that. I'd be happy to do that. Same meaning.
Yep. Or I'd love to. Right. So that's mm-hmm. that's even a little bit more like you really want to. Right. Yes. Wouldn't you say?
Yes. Right. You're not going to, if you're not really thrilled about a task, but you're willing, you would not respond with, I'd love to. This right. is something that you actually are excited about. It's something that's right up your alley. That's an yes. idiom that means, you right. know, it is one of your fortes. It's something you would enjoy doing. That's yes. when you'd say this one.
I'd love to do that. Right? I'd love to do that. Right.
Yes.
And then let's get even bigger in our emotion, our response. Mm-hmm. What is it, Aubrey?
Yes, to say thrilled. I'm thrilled to do that. I'm thrilled to have this opportunity. This yes. is bigger, maybe a promotion, something you're really excited about. Then we yeah. would say, I'm thrilled.
Yes. Or another one that it's expressing you're really excited and it means something deeper. It's a more mm-hmm. profound. I'm honored to do that.
Yes, right? exactly. Right. That. Like maybe if someone asks you to be a godparent, you'd say,
oh, yes.
I'd be honored to do that. Or mm-hmm. I'm honored to do that. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Right. It's like you said, it's more something meaningful to you. You would respond with this.
Yeah. Okay. Or another way that's get even bigger, but slightly different in our response. I'd be overjoyed.
Yes. Right. I love that. I'd be overjoyed to do that. And this is similar to thrilled. Mm-hmm. But like you said, it is, I feel like, a little more profound. It needs to be something meaningful to you to say, I'd be overjoyed to do that.
Right. Okay. Yeah, for sure. And of course, the context, you know, if someone asks you to be a godparent, both I'm honored and overjoyed. Great. If someone asks you to give like a speech at someone's funeral, obviously, you're going to say, I'd be honored, but you wouldn't say I'd be overjoyed, right?
Yes, right. This is more like thrilled, where it's going to be something positive, something exciting positive. And happy, right? And it is interesting how they are a little different, right? Mm-hmm. So for example, if you think about a promotion at work, you definitely could be say like, I'm thrilled at this by this opportunity. You know, yes. I'd love to accept the promotion. It would be a little strange to say, I'm overjoyed to accept this promotion, right? Because right. it is so much more about happy excitement that it would seem almost a little inappropriate, I feel like.
Yeah, I think that needs to be reserved for profound moments, happy, mm-hmm. profound moments in life.
Yes.
You know, giving a speech at someone's wedding or, as you said, godparent, playing an important role.
Yeah, it's actually so fascinating how the context for these different phrases, they seem so interchangeable mm-hmm. until you start thinking about how we use them.
They're
some
not.
We really wouldn't use in business English, or at least for only for very big things.
Yes, exactly. We need to know context for everything. That's why on Allers English, guys, we show you connection, but we also show you context. Yes.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, moving into number two, Aubrey, when it comes to joking or playful ways to agree, but to share that maybe you're not exactly thrilled.
Exactly, right? So here's our first example to say, I'll do it, but I'm not happy about it. I do this all the time. Like if I'm asked to do something I don't want to do, I'm going to be playful. I'm going to make this joke to be like, okay, I'll do it, but I want you to know that I'm not happy about it.
And you make sure people know that. I love it. Like if you're asked to participate in the ride in the carpool.
No, I want to do carpool so I don't have to drive every time, right? But this actually happened recently where somebody wanted a mom to be able to join the carpool who lived very far away. Oh, and I probably said this. I'm like, okay, I'll pick up her son, but I'm not happy about how far away they live.
Yeah, that's not fair because then so much every time the other moms, everyone has to drive further. But she only has to drive further once. Not fair. Not fair.
Exactly, right? Yes. Or you might say if you're given a challenge at work, but it's, you know, you don't have the time, it's really going to put a lot of pressure on you.
Yeah.
You could still be sort of playful in how you let someone know, like, I'm willing to do this. I have a can-do attitude.
Yeah.
But you know, maybe you've expressed to them that it's going to be really difficult or a little bit out of your realm of expertise. This would be a playful way to say something like, I'm up for the challenge, but I'm not thrilled about it.
Yeah, for sure. I would reserve this, though, to talking to your colleagues, not the person that asked you to do
for
it.
For sure,
right? Not
friends, like right?
Yeah. What would you say to your manager, right? I'm up for the challenge.
I think it would go back to that can-do attitude episode where we're just going to say, will do.
Will do. I'll make it happen. Right. You would frame it a little differently, right? If someone's asking you, they know that you're asking you to go out of your comfort zone, right? But they don't want to hear the emotional aspect of it. They just want to hear how you're going to make it a challenge you're going to work up to and live up to, right?
Yeah. Exactly. For sure. It always depends on the relationship, you guys. Whenever we talk about how informal or formal to be with business English, that's the first thing to think about is what is the relationship?
Yeah.
How close are you? Are you friends? Are you, you know, is it a supervisory relationship? And that will always affect your tone and the vocabulary, the phrases that you use.
100%. I love it. So good. This is a very broad episode, but it's good, broad in a good way, Aubrey, where, you know, these things can apply in different aspects of life, but it's all about an attitude. You know, a positive attitude. So,
right? Having that can-do attitude, having those positive ways to respond, which whenever I ask someone to do, how much more grateful am I if someone responds with, I'd be happy to, I'd love to do that, instead of, I guess, right?
Yeah. You want to make life simple for people, make it easy, make it joyful, right?
Yes. Exactly. Let's do a little role play here. In this role play, Lindsay, you and I are dividing tasks for an upcoming service project. Want to start us out?
Love it. All right. Would you be able to send the invitations?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to do that. And can you arrange carpooling?
I'd love to. Good idea to set up a carpool. Would you be able to drive?
Yes, for sure. Happy to drive. So put me down for that. Let's go for a treat after. Want to pick a place?
I'd be thrilled to pick an ice cream spot for afterward. I would definitely choose ice cream for sure.
I love that. I think it's such a good point that, yes, thrilled is for bigger things, bigger emotions, but it can just also be that you're excited to pick a place to go get ice cream.
Because you want to have ice cream.
You can be thrilled about that.
That makes me think of the ice cream shop Serendipity. Did you ever go there on the Upper East Side when you lived in New York?
Yes. And you can order something that has gold leaf, like gold in the dessert, just to eat gold, I guess. We had to get it. Like you know, when in Rome.
That's a famous ice cream shop. I hope it's still there. I hope it's there forever.
It probably is.
Yeah. And
it was always
in that movie.
Whenever we walked
packed,
by.
Probably mostly with tourists who saw the movie Serendipity and they wanted to go to the ice cream shop. So guys, check it out. If you're in New York, head on up to the Upper East Side. It's around like East 60th or something, and go have a little ice cream sundae.
So fun.
So cultural. Love it. Okay. What'd we use here, Aubrey?
Yeah. So let's go through this. The first thing, you had asked if I would send invitations and I said, I'd be happy to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is where we have the whole thing. We're not dropping any words. We do, right? You'll hear it both ways. Yes. Where elsewhere in the role play, you see we drop some words, but sometimes we will say the whole thing. I'd be happy to do that.
I'd be happy to do that. And then you ask me, and can you arrange carpooling? I'd love to, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm being genuine there too. I'm not being sarcastic.
Definitely, right? Yeah. I'd love to. And because you're like, good idea to set up the carpool. I don't want to have to drive every time.
And then I said, would you be able to drive?
And I said, yeah, for sure. Happy to drive. So this is where I'm dropping the subject and verb and just saying, happy to drive. Put me down for that. Meaning this is a native expression that means sign me up. Put me down for that. Like put my name on the list.
And I almost feel like that's becoming more and more common, dropping the subject, at least in my language it is. Oh, yeah. Maybe I'm just getting lazy or something, but happy to drive. Just so much more common in spoken English.
Yeah, we don't have time. Verb when it's understood.
Yes, exactly. So guys, that's how natives say it. And then you said, want to pick a place? And I said, I'd be thrilled to pick an ice cream spot. That's because I get to choose what kind of dessert we're going to have now.
Exactly, right? You're letting me know, like, if you're choosing me, I'm picking ice cream.
Ice cream. Michelle would take us for, like, hot cookies. I know she would. She'd take us for cookies.
I'm down with Michelle there. I always choose cookies over ice cream, too.
Oh, no.
I heard that on a recent episode. You guys were talking about that. She's like, I'd rather have cookies. No. It was pie or cake. You're like, choose pie or cake. And she's like, cookies?
Yeah. Like, well, what would you choose between pie and cake? I always have to know. I have to know. Pie or cake?
I like cake.
You,
there's a place here in Phoenix, and no. I think it's elsewhere in the United States, called Nothing Bundt Cakes. Do you have it in Colorado?
Nothing
they're
Bundt Cakes.
Bundt Cakes, and Bundt they're cakes. So moist. They make them with either Greek yogurt or sour cream and pudding. So they're very dense and moist. After I had that, I'm like, I will never eat any cake but this ever again. Everything else is so dry.
Cake can be really dry. That's why I'm a pie girl. At my wedding, we served pie, not cake. It's very traditional to serve a big fancy cake. We were like, no, we don't like cake. We like pie. Pie and ice cream. It was fantastic.
So fun. I do make a mean cherry pie at Thanksgiving, though. My mom was really good at making homemade pie crusts, and she passed that down to me. I do like pie.
My gosh,
and that's store-bought pie. It has to be homemade pie.
I think we could talk about pie for the next 30 minutes. Cherry pie is one of those pies. You find it everywhere, so it's very commonplace, but sometimes if it's good, it is so good. You know what I mean?
So bad, like at a grocery
and
store.
And so good. Right, right. Exactly.
Or
exactly.
So good. It's crazy.
Okay, clearly we're passionate about pie and bundt cakes. Me is not as much the bundt cakes, but all right, this is good stuff. Good stuff. Aubrey, let's leave our listeners with a nice takeaway. I think they're going to go get a slice of pie now, but
yeah, let's hope, right? I want a slice now. Yes, guys, this is such an admirable skill in business, to have a positive attitude, to have that can-do attitude we talked about in that recent episode, but you need the vocabulary to do it. Right? So today's phrases can give you that, the language you need to be positive at work and in life.
I love it, guys. So start off positive, finish positive, and then you have the substance in the middle. But, you know, I think this is somewhat cultural too, but there's nothing, you know, that you can never go wrong by being positive towards people. Right, Aubrey? You can never go wrong.
Exactly, right? I feel like there's too much negativity in the world. We have to fight that with the positivity that we choose to bring into the world, definitely.
I really think so. I love it. So good. And that is the way to connection. And don't forget the pie.
Yeah, and pie.
All right, Aubrey, good stuff. I'll talk to you very soon.
All right, bye, Lindsay.
Take care. Bye. Thanks for listening to All Ears English. Would you like to know your English level? Take our 2-minute quiz. Go to allearsenglish.com/fluency score. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, then hit subscribe now to make sure you don't miss anything. See you next time.